Hey, it's Tony Bruschi. If you enjoy this podcast, Real Ghost Stories Online, be sure to check out our other paranormal podcast, The Grave Talks, with new episodes every Monday and Tuesday. Just search The Grave Talks wherever you download podcasts. Now, here's a 15-minute preview of one of this week's episodes of The Grave Talks. Today on The Grave Talks, Uncovering the Dead, a conversation with Brian Messinger. Brian Messinger grew up with many fond memories of visiting his grandmother in her haunted house. The family embraced these experiences and accepted them as fact because they would occur so frequently. From full-bodied apparitions to doors opening to unexplained voices. Where Brian's grandmother went, so did the spirits. These shared experiences with Brian are what drove him to investigate the paranormal later in life. This is his story on The Grave Talks.
You know, that it started a long time ago. I was probably about 7-8 years old. My grandmother lived in a house over in Richmond, Illinois, and it was haunted as could be. Mm-hmm. You know, the doors would open and close. You'd smell cigar smoke or pipe smoke. Things would move around the house. You know, cabinet doors would be open in the kitchen right after you walked out and went back in, they would be open. That type of thing. So, I've been around her my whole life. And my grandmother had a very good friend who was a very talented psychic. Just being immersed in that entire thing in my life. And as I got older, I kind of strayed from it a little bit, you know, and I always read books on it, stuff and that type of thing. And in 2009, somewhere around there, my daughter had become ill. And like any parent, you worry immensely. Mm-hmm. And I woke up to my grandmother standing at the end of my bed, who had been passed away for about 15 years at that point. And that really put a spark into me to get into this. And she never said a word to me or anything. She just, you know, smiled, nodded, and kind of evaporated. And that's one of those things that I'll, you know, never forget. Mm-hmm. In 2010, I joined a group out of Wisconsin. In 2014, I formed my own group, U.S. Paranormal Research, and we've been hitting the ground running ever since. So, yeah, I've been in it pretty much my whole life.
Sure. Let's dig back and let's talk about your childhood a little bit more in detail, about growing up around a haunted house, having a grandmother who had a friend who was a very gifted psychic. Mm-hmm. I mean, it sounds like your family, you know, I don't know if embraced is the right word, but accepted that this stuff was going on around you.
Yeah, all day long. It was never one of those things like, you know, when you talk to some people about it, they're like, oh, okay, right, yeah, whatever. They don't want to talk about it. Mm-hmm. And what I've noticed is, you know, like I said, growing up in that atmosphere, you know, my mom's side of the family was very skeptical of it. It was like, yeah, we don't talk about that. My dad's side, we always embraced it. Mm-hmm. And it was always encouraged. It was always, you know, let's talk about the pyramids. Let's talk about UFOs. Let's talk about, you know, Sasquatch. Let's talk about, you name it. And like you said, with my grandmother living in a haunted house, you know, it was just a very common thing. And she had a knack for finding them. She lived in three of them throughout my childhood.
Wow. Tell me, I mean, do you have a specific, like, first memory of having something happen where you were just like, that's odd? And then, you know, you go to mom or dad or grandma and say, what was that? You know, where it wasn't, cause, you know, once you kind of starts being normal and these things are always going on. But do you have like a starting point where there was like kind of that light bulb moment for you that you remember?
I do, actually. I was about 8 years old, maybe 9 years old. And we were at grandma's house, you know, because we spent most of our summers over there. My dad was a woodworker and had a shop over in that town. So we spent the day with grandma. Mm-hmm. And I remember going into the kitchen, having lunch with her. She walked out. I walked out of the kitchen. I went back to get my drink because I left it in there. And that's when one of those examples that happened, that every cabinet in the kitchen was open. Mm-hmm. And it was one of those, you know, grandma, one of those things. You know?
Yeah.
You know, and again, as you know, 8 or 9 years old, that's one of those aha moments, like, well, something is off here, and yeah, we're the only two in the house. Yeah, so it was one of those moments that, you know, it definitely sparked it, and I knew that that was my first event. And yeah, she was just like, oh, that's, I forget what she named the ghost. I can't honestly remember the name, but we'll just call him Richard for
sure.
And she's like, oh, that's just Richard, you know? And I'm like, oh,
of course,
Richard, you know? And then she explained to me that there was a spirit in the house and kind of, you know, walked me through it a little bit. And that was the same day that we went over to see her friend, Francine, who was the psychic. Mm-hmm. And yeah, she kind of laid it out for me how it kind of works and what her beliefs are, how she thought it worked and who it was and how we got to be there. So, yeah.
And it's so interesting. And I mean, I know it's sometimes it's hard to put yourself back in your mindset of being an 8-year old. But how did you process all of that, you know, when you're being introduced to some of these concepts that, you know, you maybe have never heard before? But as an 8-year old, as a kid, you know, sometimes you're introduced to new concepts and told this is how it is. It's just, okay, that's how it is. There's not a lot of room then to argue it. How did you process that when you were getting that information?
You know, I think my upbringing helped out a lot. My parents never treated me as a child. Mm-hmm. It was always kind of as a miniature adult when I talked to them. You know, and my wife will tell you that I'm still a giant child. I've been a fireman for 30 years, so you figure that out. But yeah, it was one of those things that, you know, she talked to me like an adult, you know, you know, explaining, you know, like grandma went to sleep, you know, typical funeral answers and stuff like that. It was always talked to as an adult. You know, I've always been around it and never treated as a child with it. So I guess being raised that way, it was definitely easier to process things.
Sure. Tell me about some more experiences from childhood beyond that initial one with all the cabinet doors being open. What were some of the other standout experiences as you were growing up that, you know, that you look back on and go, that was interesting or that was scary or that was, you know, insert emotion here.
Yeah. You know, and throughout her different homes, we had an instance, you know, where, you know, we spent the night and grandma had the key hook by the back door, always had her car keys on and house keys and everything. And I remember coming down in the morning because we were actually going to head down to Southern Missouri to see my great-grandmother at that time. And the keys were gone and the back door was open. Mm-hmm. And she yelled, USOB. And I was like, oh, okay. You know, what's going on? And keys were actually hanging in a tree outside for no reason. Mm-hmm. Her reading glasses, you know, I remember her reading glasses would be moved around the house all the time. Mm-hmm. I remember a night where she was sitting there with her, she used to do crocheting and knitting mm-hmm. type thing. And she had these, I don't know if you're familiar with them. Remember the old scissors with the big orange handles that were like a foot long?
Yes.
She had a set of those and she went to reach for them. And she always kept them next to her and they were gone. And again, she's like, give me back my damn scissors. And my grandfather, who was as quiet as a church mouse, a very mild mannered man, over on the other side of the room is like, oh, they're next to me again. You know, so mm-hmm. it was like, how the hell did they get over there? Because she just used them, you know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And as I got older and started, you know, getting into the, you know, fire service years ago, I had an experience with that as well. At a very bad car accident. And two individuals approached me at that car accident and basically pointed out an injured boy to me. Who had, unfortunately, you know, mortal wounds, as it were. Mm-hmm. And to this day, I still don't know who those people are. Nobody else saw them. There were no footprints in the snow with them. You know, it was snowing. It was cold. They weren't dressed for the weather. It was just very strange. Mm-hmm. You know, another experience there. And then it got me, like I said, my grandmother, I had that experience with her. And since I've been into the quote unquote ghost hunting as since 2010, I got to tell you, I've had some of those aha moments where, you know, holy crap moments, as it were.
Yeah.
You know, we have a church here in town by me, in the town south of me, that we investigated multiple times. And I was sitting in it's almost like where the, I don't know if it's called actually a rectory, but it's where the priest, you know, puts on his robes sure. and that type of stuff. And I was sitting there and one of our investigators was sitting across from me and she says, you know, it's really dark to your right side. Now you're in a room that's pretty much pitch black as it is. And she's yelling, it's even darker. And as I turned to look, something, a black mass, whatever you want to call it, a shadow person came out of the floor and like looked over me sitting in the chair. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that fight or flight syndrome kicks in.
Yeah.
And I decided it was time to move. So, yeah, that was one of those, that was the aha moment there that, you know, this is the real deal. There's definitely stuff out there that is, I don't want to call it malevolent, but I think intimidating, ominous.
Sure.
So yeah, that was one of those aha moments there. You know, we've seen apparitions as a group, as an individual, I've seen them. Mm-hmm. And they're all very cool. And to this point, now I run towards them.
Sure.
Somebody says shadow person, and I had that dream.
And I want to dig into the investigating part in just a little bit. Sure. I want to keep kind of talking about kind of what brought you to that point, because I'm sure there's still more stories to share there. What was your grandfather's outlook on all of this as these things were happening in his house as well?
He kind of just embraced it as, yeah, it's here, but he never really engaged it. Mm-hmm. He was just kind of like, okay, you know, it doesn't bother me, I'm not going to bother it type of mentality. Mm-hmm. And whereas grandma and her lifelong friend, Francine, they were always like, yeah, let's go poke it a little bit and talk to it and, you know, see what kind of responses we can get. And they always had fun with it in the home. You know, grandma would talk to him all the time, and she would get knocking responses. And like I said before, the cigar and pipe smells. You know, she only says she saw him one time. Mm-hmm. In the home. I wasn't there for that, but she said she saw him one time standing in the stairwell looking down at her. And the funny part is, the rumor is that Richard was murdered in the home. Mm-hmm. And they never found the body. You know, I guess the gardener and the missus had an affair, and this is the late 1800s. Mm-hmm. And supposedly they never found his body, but in the basement, it was a fieldstone basement, and it had a little brick patch of about a 3-foot by 3-foot patch in the wall. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we always asked my grandfather, you know, you gotta open it up. And his response was always, I don't need to know.
Yeah.
He can stay right where he's at. You know, if he's in there, he can stay there.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was just very cool. And some of our other homes, we had, experiences with, like I said, lights going on and off, doors again opening and closing. The dog would never go on the third floor of her one house. It was an old Victorian from the mid 1800s. The dog would absolutely have nothing to do with the third floor. You couldn't drag that dog up there without a fight. So obviously the dog knew something.
What was your grandmother's, you know, outlook, or, you know, I don't want to ask, goal, I guess, you know, when she was interacting with these things? Was it more just, this is entertaining and a curiosity? What was she trying to bring them out to communicate? What was, you know, I suppose, you know, when you're having these things happen, it certainly is curious, you know, it drives your curiosity. But did she have any, did she like these things? Did she want them to go away?
No, she embraced them completely. You know, it was just somebody to interact with, I guess. Mm-hmm. You know, in the home, that she always thought it was just cool that she had a friend there.
Yeah.
Like I said, you know, her and, you know, her friend Francine were inseparable. They were together 24/7 pretty much.
Yeah.
And they would just embrace it and engage with it and talk to them and elicit responses. And it wasn't so much for research or anything. It was just more of someone to talk to, you know. Yeah. Something, I don't want to use the term play toy, but sure, kind of along those lines.
Prior to these houses and prior to you knowing her as grandma, you know, back when she was just mom, and then prior to that when she was just, you know, what was her name?
My grandmother's name was Jeanette.
Okay, back when she was just Jeanette, not mom to anybody, throughout her life, right. Did she have experiences throughout her life? And obviously you got to see, you know, her as grandma and those experiences. But prior to that, did she have haunting experiences throughout her life?
She did. As a young lady, she grew up in Naperville area. Mm-hmm. In Illinois here. And yeah, she had a couple of experiences. It always seemed to be a part of her life. I think my grandmother might have had some gifts, but never really knew it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, she definitely had experiences. She saw her grandfather when she was a young lady. Mm-hmm. He came to her and said that, you know, I'm okay, is all he told her. And she knew at that moment, she thought it was actually him standing in the house. Then she found out like 20 minutes later that he had passed away at home. So there was no way he could have been there.
Yeah.
One of those events. And that was her first event. I remember her talking about that. And yeah, she had several events as a young lady in Naperville area. And the one, her first one was definitely with her grandfather, who just came to her and said, "Hey, I'm okay."
Hope you enjoyed this 15-minute preview of one of this week's two brand new episodes of The Grave Talks. To hear the rest and get new episodes every Monday and Tuesday right in your podcast feed, search The Grave Talks wherever you download podcasts and press subscribe or visit thegravetalks.com.